Forgive my impertinence, Mother Superior, but you misunderstand my purpose. In writing about the life of Paul Atreides, the Emperor Muad'Dib, my intent is not simply to chronicle historical events. Have we not learned lessons from our own Missionaria Protectiva? Deftly handled, myths and legends can become tools or weapons, while mere facts are just facts. Princess Irulan, Letter to the Mother School on Wallach 9. Part 1. Emperor Muad'Dib, 10,194 AG, 1 year after the fall of Shaddam IV. Much more remains of my father than these few fragments. His bloodline, his character, and his teachings have made me who I am. As long as the universe remembers me as Paul Muad'Dib, so too will Duke Leto Atreides be remembered. The son is always shaped by the father. Inscription on the Harg Pass Shrine. A serene ocean of sand stretched as far as the eye could see, silent and still, carrying the potential for terrible storms. Arrakis, the sacred world dune, was becoming the eye of a galactic hurricane, a bloody jihad that would rage across the planets of the crumbling Imperium. Paul Atreides had foreseen this, and now he had set it in motion. Since the overthrow of Shaddam IV a year ago, millions of converts had joined Paul's armies in addition to his own Fremen warriors, all of whom had pledged their lives to him. Led by his fanatical Fedaiken and other trusted officers, his holy warriors had already begun to fan out from staging areas, bound for specific star systems and targets. Just that morning, Paul had sent Stilgar and his legion off with a rousing speech that included the words, "I bestow strength on thee, my warriors. Go now and perform my holy bidding." It was one of his favorite passages from the Orange Catholic Bible. Afterward, in the heat of the afternoon, he had taken himself far from the bedlam of the city of Arrakeen, from the agitated troops and the fawning clamor of worshippers. Here, in the isolated mountains, Paul required no Fremen guide. The high desert was silent and pure, giving him an illusion of peace. His beloved Chaney accompanied him, along with his mother Jessica and his little sister. Not quite 4 years old, Aaliyah was vastly more than a child, pre-born with all the memories and knowledge of a reverend mother. As he and his companions ascended the stark brown mountains to Harg Pass, Paul tried to cling to a feeling of serene inevitability. The desert made him feel small and humble, in sharp contrast to being cheered as a messiah. He prized each quiet moment away from the devoted followers who chanted, "Muad'Dib, Muad'Dib," whenever they glimpsed him. Before long, when news of the military victories started streaming in, it would get even worse. But that could not be avoided. Eventually, he would be swept along by the jihad. He had already charted its course, like a great navigator of humanity. War was one of the tools at his disposal. Now that he had exiled the Padishah Emperor to Seleucus Secundus, Paul had to consolidate his power among the members of the Lansrad. He had sent his diplomats to negotiate with some of the noble houses, while dispatching his most fanatical fighters against the defiant families. A number of lords would not lay down their arms and vowed to put up fierce resistance, claiming either that they would not follow a rebel or that they'd had enough of emperors altogether. Regardless, the armies of Muad'Dib would sweep over them and continue onward. Though Paul sought to reduce and even eliminate the violence, he suspected that the bloody reality would prove far worse than any prescient vision. And his visions had been frightening. Centuries of decadence and mismanagement had filled the Imperium with deadwood, tinder that would allow his firestorm to spread with startling speed. In a more civilized time, problems between houses had been settled with an old-fashioned war of assassins, but that solution seemed quaint and gentlemanly now, no longer plausible. Faced with the tide of religious fervor approaching their worlds, some leaders would simply surrender, rather than try to stand against the invincible onslaught. But not all of them would be that sensible. On their trek, Paul and his three companions wore new stillsuits covered by mottled cloaks to camouflage them in the desert. Though the garments looked well-worn, they were actually finer than any Paul had used when he'd lived as a fugitive among the Fremen. Their makers claimed that these durable off-world imports were superior to the simpler versions that had traditionally been made in hidden CHs. The manufacturers mean well, he thought. They do it to show their support for me, without realizing the implied criticism in their improvements. After selecting the perfect position high on the ridge, a small natural amphitheater guarded by tall rocks, Paul set down his pack. He uncinched the straps and pulled aside the cushioning folds of velvet and cloth with a reverence comparable to what he saw in the faces of his most devout followers.